And then, in order to keep this a little bit light, because I'll tell you as I went through this. This is my new theology book. This was in a recommendation from Michael Schultz. Yeah, he likes it's Hobbes and Black. And I just picked one. We were reading it last night. Diane is sitting over in her chair reading it and laughing. And I'm like, so I picked the other one. She's got two of these now from the library. And I was struck with this one. It has nothing to do with Christmas, nothing to do with our transition. It just made me laugh. Hobbes is sitting behind his little, lemonade stand, only it says, instead of lemonade, it says, great ideas, $1. In the next one, this little girl comes up and says, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And Hobbes stands up and he yells back at her, well, go soak your head. And then he's sitting there all by himself. And then he stands up again and says, hey, that'll be $1. I kind of like that. Anyway, it has nothing to do with my... as I went through this, I was like, okay, do I do a transition of, Paul to Timothy, Elijah to Elisha, right? I get those guys mixed up. From Moses to Joshua, the whole transition of... Since I'm not Moses or Elijah or Paul, what I'd like to do is just kind of, and I really think this is kind of good timing on God's part that we didn't do this like when we were driving away. I don't know. When was the last time we met? I don't even remember. That we're kind of now, we seem kind of used to the fact that we're going somewhere else, and we're all kind of okay. So what I'd like to do this morning is really do one thing, and I don't have I have my Bible, but I printed them all out. I actually typed these out, not typed them. So I'm going to go all over the place in verses. These are verses I picked. You guys might pick other verses to think through God's goodness and His faithfulness. But the one thing I'd like us to look at and talk about, or me talk about, you can talk about it at the potluck. Being thankful, remembering God's grace. Being thankful, remembering God's grace in the past, the present, and the future. Okay, because we want to look back at this and what God did here kind of gratefully. And remember, I wrote down things I remember. We can talk about what things you guys remember. At the potluck, unless you want to interrupt, like if it's getting real boring. And I'm going to be jumping all around. Topical sermons are tough. That's what I would guess this is. And I'm going to be doing something that I try to avoid doing is pulling verses out of context and making them say something that they really don't say. So if you think I did that today, tell Diane. Don't tell me. And when I choose verses, you might choose other verses. When you think through this, how God has been faithful to us here, you might choose other ones, and that's okay. And when I look at things that I remember and I'm thankful for, you might have others, and we can mention those later. So that's what I'd like to do, is just kind of be thankful, remembering God's grace, what He did here, what He is doing here, and what He's going to do. So I looked up the word thankful, and it's kind of amazing. I look up thankful and remembering. The word thankful doesn't occur as much as you thought it would, and as much as I thought it would. But the word remembering occurs 145 times in the Old Testament, 28 times in the New Testament. So, I think God is... The scriptures, and when you think about the Old Testament, that's what the Jews do all the time. I was watched Billy Crystal's 700 Sundays, and he said, growing up as a Jew, all you did was talk about suffering. That's all they talked about. And he says, you want to remember this, and the suffering of that, and the Holocaust, this. So, but most of the time, when it talks about remembering, it's good stuff that you're supposed to remember. And a lot of the Psalms, it talks about God. The psalmist asking God to remember His covenant with His people. So I just picked several. What we're going to look at first is being thankful. Then we're going to look at remembering. Then we're going to look at some other New Testament verses that I just picked out. Okay. So first, when you think about being thankful, and you can, I picked some psalms, not all the verses, but the first one was Psalm 100. It's short. It's only 5 verses. It's a psalm. In the little subtitle there, it says a psalm for giving grateful praise. So the reality is, even though this is a little bit of a tough transition and, you know, move into another place, but there is a sense that we need to gratefully praise God for what he's done. So it's Psalm 100. Most of this is the NIV. One of the NIV ones I didn't like, so I did it in NASB. But this one is the NIV. The psalmist writes, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." I mean, who doesn't like Christmas music? You know what I mean? It's just this kind of like, gives you warm fuzzies. You know, if you don't get warm fuzzies, you should probably get your nerves checked or whatever. Some are sad, some are happy, but... worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Simple 5 verses. God is faithful. He is good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. When we stop and think has this been 10 years? Has it really been 10 years since this started? Wow. Time flies. But the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. No matter where we are, here, there, it doesn't change who God is. I mean, that's the point of this. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Ours, Ashley's, Allie's, all of ours. The second psalm... is 136, verses 1 through 6. Now, this is a long psalm. And when you read it, you're going to... What is it? Like, in education, repetition is, like, the important thing. You got to repeat it and repeat it. And, you know, tell them what you want to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Well, when you read this, you're going to get what the psalmist is looking at. And the little subtitle is... Thanks for the Lord's goodness to Israel. Now, again, you know, we're not Israel, but it's still a good psalm. And I'm going to read the first 6 verses. You're going to get the drift. How many verses are in there? Does anybody have their Bible open? 26. But I'm going to read 6 of them. The psalmist writes, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great works, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spreads out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Get the point? You know, whether we're here or there or wherever God places us in this transition, his loving kindness is everlasting. It's not us. It's not about us. And it's not about a location. It's about him. So that's, am I doing something here again? Anyway, that's the looking at being thankful. And then I looked up the whole idea of remembering, and there are a lot more of these. And I just picked two of them. One is 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is way back. If you look at subtitles, it's right when David is ready to go in and dedicate the ark. Okay, and they've I don't know all the background, but when you read it, it's verses 8 through 15 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is where David looks back and he says, remember what God has done. And they're going to go into the temple, and this is what David says. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory to his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations. As I was thinking through this and thinking, well, I got to do something so I don't cry the whole time. But this is about, again, David isn't looking at himself. David isn't looking at his great conquests. He's looking at who God is. Remember the wonders he has done. His miracles, his judgments. He is the Lord our God. No matter where we are. I picked this one, Psalm 103. I think I picked this. I don't know if it has the word remember in it. I picked it because I like it. Oh, no. It doesn't have the word remember in it, but it says, and forget none of his benefits, which is more for people in their, 63, like I am, because remembering is one thing. Forget not is usually more applicable because I forget a lot of stuff. So this isn't remembering, but it has that idea in it. So Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. And again, you've heard these verses, but just listen to what the psalmist, how he looks at who God is and who we are. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can you imagine where we would be? Not having the fun of kind of looking for a new place if he dealt with us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Loving kindness is a Hebrew word that sometimes it's meant, it just says love. It's God's love. There's a difference between love and just loving kindness toward us. Boy, she's looking right at me. That's so cool. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. I pick that just to remind me and remind us. He is so good. He is so faithful and so forgiving that he will not always strive with us And he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I remember one, and I think I've told this story, one time we were at Diane's mom's Bible study, and this one girl had come, she was Jewish and had gotten saved, and her dad was a Jewish doctor, and he came, and so here was Lois, who didn't even have a high school degree, and this medical doctor and a Jewish guy, and the first thing out of his mouth is, well, not first thing, first thing was, God is not a jealous God. And then her mom picked out, went right to the Old Testament, you know, so that kind of, you know, embarrassed him a little bit, that the Jew didn't know that God was jealous toward Israel. And then he said, well, how do I know God loves me? And she said, how do you know God loves you? And she said, because I'm not immediately consumed by my sin. And I thought, wow, what a great answer. And, you know, you could have gone, well, because Jesus died for me. And God, you know, the whole idea was, I can know God loves us because I'm still here. You know, I mean, there's deeper issues. But, I mean, that's what this Psalm 103 reminds me of. And then let me just think, when I say I'm going to look at being thankful, remembering what God has done in the past, present, and future. I wrote down some of the things. I have three things on here, past, present, and future. So I'm going to give you my ideas of what God has done in the past. Number one, this was a new building, right? I mean, I remember, for those of you that were here, walking in the front door, walking in that door and thinking, oh, no. I mean, really. I mean, remember, I mean, and Chris and Betsy are going, great. And we're like, okay, we got to think about, you know, Betsy and Chris's house and what that, and, oh, no. And then, you know, if you saw, and then there, I also have, I wrote on here, what a mess, and how we were blessed. I mean, it was a mess, you know. It was a mess. And the whole remodeling thing, I remember. You know, and I wrote down here, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, there was probably some of all of that. But I don't even remember how long it took. But I can remember trying to get the teenage guy, your Lamborns up there on the ladder, hanging sheetrock. Figure we get to teach them how to hang sheetrock, and it's still not real straight, but. But there were some really, when you think of the past and how God, you know, dumped this in our lap, pretty much, you know. And I got to tell you, I was pretty nervous because I'm thinking, especially when the three of us, the Lamborns and me and Diane and Edwards were there signing papers. And I'm thinking, I remember looking at Steve Edwards and saying, this is a 30-year commitment. And it's okay. You know, even in spite of my fear and worry. And so there's the new building, there's the remodeling. We had a transplant in the middle of all this. How do you even describe that? We now have two bathrooms, just to get us off the real deep stuff. We have two bathrooms. We don't have to not wait for, and for the ladies, that's probably really important. Guys are like, you know, we don't really care. If there was a bush out in back, we probably could have been okay. Two bathrooms, the VBS, I remember, I didn't really do much in the VBS, but the pictures of, and I don't know why it strikes me, of the Larry Litton, a 6'4" leopard, or shepherd, I'm sorry. You know, and all dressed in the garb and all that. I mean, and kids got saved. You know, who knows where they are? I don't know. The crazy Christmas parades of trucks lit up and other parades, right? There were other ones, right? I don't know all of them. But they were fun. You know, cold, freezing, waiting for the whatever. Throwing candy and then getting mad. Anyway. When you think about how big we are, I mean, we're not that big of a church, right? How many times did we provide mortgage for people that couldn't make their payments? Geraldina is still coming to her house. You know, now was Are they spiritual giants? Probably not. Are they on their way to heaven? I don't even know if we should have kept track how much money we gave away. It's probably good we didn't. Let God do that accounting. You know what I mean? But really, let him do that. Not us. Did you count it up? Oh, yeah, that's right. Uncle Sam might not like the fact that we didn't keep track. But Peggy's gone, so we don't. And you work for the IRS, so we... but think of that. I mean, you know, we kind of cruise along and we... For some families, that was a crisis, you know, that God took care of through the likes of you and me. You know, when there's nobody in here that is like, you know, oil rich or, but we're rich. We are rich. There's new believers. Heaven's a little more crowded, which if heaven can be crowded, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. There's new friends. I mean, we have better music than most of the places we're looking. Well, not even most. We have better music than the people we're looking at. I got it. You know, and I'm not pumping sunshine. I am a little bit, but that's okay, because it really, you know, that's the thing I'm going to miss the most. You know, we've had weddings. We've had, not in here, this would be a tough place to have a wedding. You know, this isn't like real wedding-like. We've had funerals. Baptisms. If you can think of some, I mean, there's just, when you stop and think, oh man, God is good. That took the likes of us and did that. Even when I worried about the money. You know, it's kind of like God says, shut up. You know, just shut up. That's one of the things, Sue Bolin has that, it's one of the Psalms. It's supposed to be still and know that I am God. And she calligraphied it and says, shut up and know that I am God. Be still is the more Hebrew way, I guess. So anyway, that's kind of what I looked at. It's the past. And that was just brief. You know, I mean, that was just the daily stuff. That's every Sunday stuff. In spite of us, in spite of me. And I listened to leadership things, you know, about, and I was listening to, who's the guy that does Willow Creek? Hybels. And he was teaching at some big, Hillsong convention in Australia, like 60,000 people, you know. And when you're, you know, and it's hard not to be a little bit jealous. I think I would choke. I'm not sure I could talk to 60,000 people. God knows that. But, and he kept going, well, you find a big church and what you're going to find there is a big, strong leader that has it. So how do you, I'm like, this isn't my church. This isn't yours. I didn't pay for it. Jesus did. Why doesn't somebody stand up and say, if you see a big church, you know, well, I don't know. It's Jesus' church. Not mine, not Bill Hybels, not whoever, Joel Osteen, whoever. We got to remember that. Then that's the past, and we can talk more at potluck. We can maybe have some laughs and whatever. The present, we have an offer on the building, which is really bizarre. You know, and again, I worried, thinking, oh, man, we'd like to get this building sold because we're on the note. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Remember when there was another church around here that was being sold, and they said, well, just quit paying on the note, and then they'll foreclose. And I'm like, well, we really can't do that. You know, we're not doing that. We're going to depend on Steve. No. but we have an offer on the building. I don't know about the real estate market and what causes it. This is a God thing. You know what I mean? That we even, you know, again, that I worried about coming in here and worried about getting a 30-year note. And God's like, I'll take care of this. Don't worry. So we have an offer. Now, we got to sign a paper today, Steve, just so you know. We got to put initials on something. Something changed. It's not a big deal, but we got to we have to re-sign something. And I don't know what you guys think. Even though it's been everybody said, isn't looking for a church a pain? And I said, well, yeah, kind of. But we have got good ones, right? I mean, that there's even ones that we're like deciding between is really kind of nice. And I might just ask the one guy to take away one symbol. That would be my only thing at one of the, I'm just kidding. But we have good churches. We still have friends. This isn't like we're done and running away from each other. You know, there's still friends. We're still friends. We're still having small group. I think we should keep our prayer requests. So, and that's another thing we probably should have kept. Besides the accounting of the money, we should have accounted for our prayer requests. And maybe it's, and just in general, we ought to just say, be grateful, be thankful for what he did do. Maybe, and I probably wouldn't, you know, some of you have better memories than me. I hardly remember tomorrow, or yesterday. I don't remember tomorrow. Yesterday. Hopefully I can remember tomorrow. No. And I think, I remember driving away when we were driving up to Branson, and Diane goes, I kind of said, well, how come everybody was so sad? And she said, well, it was the last service. I was like, oh. I almost turned around and came back. Because I'm like, I didn't know it was, but it's kind of, I think the timing is better. That we've kind of realized that this is okay. God is still good. This is okay. Is it sad? Yeah, parts of it. But it's also a new beginning. I mean, this is kind of a good thing. There's good churches out there. People, you know, we don't know what God has in for this group. Can you imagine what this group could do in one of those places? What God could do through us in one of those places. And we still have friends. I have friends now that I didn't have before. Future. I'm going to go, and then I'm going to read, what time is it? I'm going to read some verses after this. The future. We can be excited about a ministry in a new church, wherever it is. I don't care if it's Cornerstone, Waterbrook, I don't know, what other, you know, whatever your list is, whatever you thought was the best, we can still have a ministry there. You know what I mean? And a good one, a good one. We still have our small group. We still have, I think we ought to keep our, we can keep our email group. We can keep praying for each other. We have old friends and we're going to make new friends. You know, I mean, we got, when we went into Waterbrook, we knew like 10 people right in the door, right? I mean, it's kind of like, so that makes it feel comfortable, but who knows? But we have old friends and there's going to be new friends there. They need kind of a group at our level of age. Is that the right word to use? Maturity. That's it. Maturity. And then I have on here new music, ? Because it was good music, but wasn't our music. But it's good. And there's going to be new teaching, which is a good thing. You know what I mean? Those guys, if you've listened to Steve Bramer or the guy from Cornerstone, and he's Californian, and, you know, that's why I wanted to dress cool. I was going to pull my shirt out to be more cool. But I don't have skinny jeans because my legs aren't skinny enough to get in those kind of jeans. So, anyway, that's okay. You know, new teaching is good. It's biblical. New biblical teaching is good. So anyway, I just picked some verses. Some of them, I have the title on here. These are just about God's grace. The end is two prayers of Paul's that I really like. He's prayed a bunch. He does more than this, but these are two I picked. And then the last two are just benedictions. So I'm just going to read them. Okay, I'll try not to comment because we're... Oh, that clock is way wrong anyway. It's not 1 o'clock, is it? No. Wow, I thought... Have I been here? Okay, time flies when... Okay, and these are just verses I picked out. And I don't know why. I just picked them. This, 2 Peter 3:18, and I can give you these lists if you really want them. I don't know why you... 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is the very end of the book. And after all that Peter said, and I was thinking, I know we preached through Peter, but I can't remember what I... But this is the very end, and Peter writes, this is Peter, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the point. Whether we're here or somewhere else, you know, and when you think about the, I'm commenting, that's okay. When you think about the churches that Paul wrote to and the guys that Paul wrote to, most of those churches are gone. They moved on. You know, so this isn't unusual. But Peter writes, just grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. That would mean there in the first century, there in the second, the 20th century in Royce City, forever, forever. To him be glory. And then Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what we were all about. And the bottom line was we wanted people to understand the grace of God. Now, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Wherever we go, we got to let people know. We want to teach you the grace of God. We want to take you just like you are and let God do the work in your life. You know, not say to you, you got to wear skinny jeans or a dress. You don't want me to wear a dress. Let God do the work in a person's life and just encourage them. Again, in 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. The grace of our Lord was poured out. Listen to this. This is Paul. And I kind of relate to that. It's kind of scary getting up preaching, I got to tell you. You know, it's a weird, it's not like when I get up in front of a hospital and talk about signs, it's really pretty simple. You know what I mean? In terms of it's not, you know, too deep. It's not too tragic if somebody doesn't like my sign. You know what I mean? And most people don't. I mean, they don't read them. Anyway. But this is what Paul says. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Period. Simple, not complicated. Of whom I am the worst. I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Wow, that's Paul. I mean, Timothy, if he's passing down something to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, you know, if you want to sit and argue about who's the worst sinner, I'm going to win. That's not the point. Have you ever seen the movie Amazing Grace, where there's this one scene where Wilberforce, that's the guy's name. I can't remember. Wilberforce is at the church with, who wrote Amazing Grace? What's the guy's name? Newton. And Newton's a pastor of the church. And he's going blind. But he says, Wilberforce, I know two things. I'm a great sinner. And I have a great Savior. I'm like, that's what we got to remember. Whether we're here in this building or somewhere else, I'm a great sinner. And I even have a greater Savior. Romans 8:38 through 39. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can only worship here. Does God's grace go with us no matter where we are? Of course it does. And then 2 Corinthians, this is the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And again, Paul ends, you know, you could pick out the grace of God at the end of every one of Paul's letters, but Paul writes to the Corinthians, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all God's people will hear, send their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I'm going to read one prayer. What time is it? I'm going to read one prayer the two benedictions, and then we'll close. Which one? I'm going to read both. You got time? We okay? That's the nice thing about a small church. I mean, I guess if you have to, anyway. This is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then he prays for in Ephesus, and you'll recognize this one. I write this sometimes when I, at the end of letters. This is chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You know, when I listen to Ravi Zacharias, and he's pretty smart. You know, he sounds smart anyway. And I feel not near as smart as him. But Paul says, I want you to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The minute you think you can figure out why would God do this, Paul says, just know something that's practically, it's unknowable. Just take it. That surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory. To him
be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. And then these are the two last benedictions. I don't know which one. I'll read Jude first. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. I mean, you know, I'm way closer to that time than my starting time. And to think that he is able to present the likes of us before his presence without fault and great joy. I mean, there's a song one time where it talks about when people are confessing, they're confessing their sin, and God says, what time? I'll read the last one. You're not walking out because you don't like it?
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Huh? Oh, and we're going to do communion, too. Let me give you the thing to sign. And then I'll do the last benediction because it was, you have to, where that X is, and then at the bottom, just put your initials again. Okay. And then we're going to do communion. Well, let's do communion, and then I'll do this benediction. How's that sound? Let me get my Bible. I wish it was a little more organized, but that's okay, right? You'll appreciate people that are real organized when we go to a new church. So that, who's going to do this? You can do both, right? You can handle it.